Good morning and welcome to Neon and Beyond. I'm Lauren Bond and we have some wonderful guests this morning. I'm always happy to speak with individuals who are working with groups that work with our animals and our pets. And this morning, Sarah Mortimer, the executive director of the Tortoise Group, is going to chat with us for a little while. Good morning, Sarah. How are you?
Good morning, Lauren. I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well, and I'm super excited to talk to you. I'm always happy to hear more about our pets and animals that are here in Clark County and in Nevada, not only the domestic pets, but our wildlife. And we've got today we're going to talk about the desert tortoise, which can be wild and is often living in captivity. So give me a little background about the Tortoise Group, Sarah.
Excellent. Yes, Lauren. So Tortoise Group is a nonprofit that was founded back in 1982. Our mission is to work educating and advocating for the protection and well-being of the desert tortoise. So what that means for Tortoise Group is we kind of encapsulate all desert tortoises. So it's kind of a unique niche because desert tortoises are a federally listed species, so they are listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. However, prior to their listing, people were grandfathered to keep them as pets, but we have this existing pet population that Tortoise Group helps manage in the state of Nevada. And Tortoise Group works really diligently to provide pet services to the state of Nevada's general public, as well as wild conservation efforts to help conserve the wild local populations of desert tortoises and just provide overall education to the general public.
Because there is very different criteria for keeping a desert tortoise in your backyard and those that are living in the wild, correct? We have completely different sets of criteria.
There's quite a bit of differences, but however, we do live within the natural range here in southern Nevada. So a lot of what we require for a backyard habitat to keep a pet desert tortoise is imitating what they would naturally do in the wild or out in the desert. So the same things that they require in the wild, they still require in a backyard, such as a burrow, which we require people to build because that's one of the most important aspects of a backyard desert tortoise habitat, for the tortoise to be able to escape extreme temperatures in the winter and in the heat of the summer. And man, this was a really hot summer, so those burrows really, really are important for desert tortoises, but also other species in the wild. Of course, in your backyard, we want to make sure that they have that shelter available. We want to make sure your backyard's escape-proof, because they are quite good at escaping backyards, and that there's food for them to forage and a water supply for them as well.
Sure. I mean, there is a lot to consider when an individual is thinking of taking custodianship of a desert tortoise. There's a lot involved. And again, these are creatures that live a very, very long life. So, you know, a lot needs to be taken into consideration.
Yes, they are a long-lived species. So desert tortoises in captivity can live to be 80 to 100 years in captivity. And that's why it's really important for people to plan for the future and consider what's going to happen with the tortoise that very well could outlive them.
Sure.
And that is something that Tortoise Group tries to assist with. And Tortoise Group also only adopts one tortoise out per household. And the main reason behind that is because overall they're pretty solitary in the wild. They're not really hanging out together unless they're fighting for a mate or mating. And neither of those circumstances we want happening in your backyard.
Right, exactly. And when you mentioned that this is a commitment that you will have to make plans for, because this is a species that could possibly, a pet that could possibly outlive you, it's very important to have a backup plan for if that situation does occur, because desert tortoises that are living in captivity cannot be reintroduced into the desert, correct?
That is correct. So once a tortoise is in captivity, it's actually against the law to release them into the wild. And the main reason behind that is because once tortoises are in captivity, they can be exposed to different illnesses and diseases. Something that we see pretty commonly is upper respiratory infections in pet desert tortoises. And while this illness isn't necessarily fatal in most cases in captivity, something like this spreading to wild populations can really negatively impact a wild local population with other environmental stressors in mind. For a pet desert tortoise that's being provided with a regular supply of food and water, generally speaking, they're going to suffer through an upper respiratory just fine with treatment of antibiotics. Whereas sure. a wild desert tortoise that's under experiencing a season of drought, that can be enough to take that tortoise out. So that's why it's really, really important that we continue to educate the general public on responsible pet care. And part of that is making sure that your pet tortoises are secure and not being released into local wild populations.
And another consideration as a responsible pet owner is backyard breeding and having your desert tortoise spayed or neutered, correct?
Yes. So this is something that Tortoise Group has been highlighting more prevalently the past 2 years and really driving that home. This is something we've always educated on because a female desert tortoise can lay anywhere from 1 to 15 eggs in a clutch and up to 3 clutches in a year.
Oh.
So when you have a mating pair, you can go from having 2 tortoises to having a lot very quickly. They're very prolific breeders in a backyard.
Wow.
So in the wild, only 1 to 5% of them make it to adulthood because of predators and other environmental stressors. But in someone's backyard where they're being protected from predators, most of those hatchlings are surviving. And then once they get old enough to start mating, then they start mating with each other, and we run into inbreeding issues as well. So overcrowding happens very quickly in a normal-sized Las Vegas backyard. And typically when we see overcrowding, the higher levels of illness we see within those tortoises as well, symptoms that they're carrying. It's much more prevalent in tortoises. Households that have multiple tortoises, we see upper respiratory a lot more frequently.
Sure. And you had already mentioned that tortoises need a certain amount of space each. And when they start to, you know, multiply, then you've got a limited space available in your yard. And this starts to get crowded. And like you said, they're in close proximity to one another. And it just, it's not good for their health in so many different ways.
Yes, and because they are federally listed, they're still considered wildlife, which means they belong to the people of Nevada, which in turn translates to that they cannot be sold or traded. So people cannot profit off of giving away desert tortoises. They are allowed to rehome them and give them away, but oftentimes when people have a mating pair and they have babies, yes, they are so cute. Everyone loves a baby tortoise, but the issue becomes out of hand pretty fast, and then you run out of people to give them away to. And again, it's not contributing to conservation efforts.
Right.
In order for a tortoise in a head starting program or a translocation program, they have to undergo a series of health assessments and blood tests before they can be moved to certain areas or released.
Oh my goodness. We are speaking with Sarah Mortimer. She is the executive director at Tortoise Group, wonderful organization here in Las Vegas, making sure that our desert heroes in a half shell are well looked after. And we are, as their custodians, educated on how to take care of them, their well-being, their health, and their maintenance. And we are talking about backyard breeding, captive breeding, can harm wild tortoises. And in order to not have that happen, we need our desert tortoises that are in captivity to be spayed and neutered. Where can this be done?
So Tortoise Group does have a list of vets that have experience with tortoises. In that also marks vets that have experience spaying and neutering tortoises.
Okay.
Tortoise Group can also help assist with separating tortoises or building separate enclosures, which would be another route that people can go if they chose not to spay or neuter their tortoise. Of course, that is what Tortoise Group deems the best option, because oftentimes, even people that only have one desert tortoise, they say, well, I only have one. I shouldn't need to care about spaying or neutering it. However,
sure.
the lifespan of a desert tortoise is likely to outlive you, and you don't necessarily know who's going to be caring for that tortoise or what the situation will be in a few decades.
Right. I'm curious, with a desert tortoise or a turtle in general, I mean, most of their bits are in their shells, right? Do they have to open the shell?
So for the process of spaying and neutering of desert tortoises, a phylectomy is performed on the male desert tortoises.
Mm-hmm.
So that process involves taking the phallus out and basically just stitching up the end of it.
Okay.
And then for females, it does have to be done at a certain time of the year. And Dr. Jay Johnson actually, I believe, was the person who came up with a newer surgery process for spaying tortoises, which involves an incision in both of the legs.
So, oh, okay.
Neither process any longer requires a vet to drill through a shell, which is bone. So now it has become less invasive so that they're not having to drill through the bone of the shell.
And it's a pretty easy procedure for the desert tortoise to recover from, an easy process for them?
The male process is a pretty quick surgery, and then sometimes blood clots can be passed, so sometimes that can be a little bit unnerving for people to witness. So sometimes they will opt to have the vet take care of the tortoise aftercare,
okay.
But if you're willing to do the aftercare at home, it's a pretty easy process, and with the females, a little bit longer of a surgery time because they have to make incisions and pull the ovaries out of each side.
Sure.
But it's less of an issue normally when it comes to, I haven't seen as many blood clots and things like that when it comes to females. Less issues usually.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know, my curiosity, I had to know, are we cutting into a turtle shell? and Sarah, how can our listeners get involved? How can they help?
Yeah, absolutely. So even if you are just a tortoise enthusiast and you live in an apartment and you can't adopt a desert tortoise into your backyard or give a home to a desert tortoise, but you want to get involved still, Tortoise Group has a variety of different volunteer opportunities. So right now is the beginning of active desert tortoise season. So part of our wild conservation projects involve doing our raven monitoring project, which is essentially setting up stations with a technotort, which is a fake 3D printed tortoise that's staked to the ground, and then a motion sensor camera that is set up 5 meters away. And those are deployed for 2 weeks. And then anything that tries to strike that fake desert tortoise model is captured on that camera. So we also have volunteers that help us go through that photo data. And then we'll be gearing up to start our Road Warriors project, which involves doing road mortality surveys along roadways that are not currently fenced with desert tortoise fencing.
Mm-hmm.
So because they're a long-lived species, road mortality is a really big issue affecting their population densities in certain areas. In certain areas, there's desert tortoise fencing already installed, and part of our less active season involves doing fence inspections. So making sure that those desert tortoise fences that are installed right now are doing the job that they're supposed to be doing and keeping those desert tortoises off of the roadway. So typically when they're in brumation, volunteers are walking those fence lines and reporting any large washouts to Nevada Department of Transportation to make sure that those are addressed before tortoises emerge in the springtime.
Sure. Sarah, what is our desert tortoise population?
So back in 2018, when we did our general census with the greater Las Vegas area, and Tortoise Group worked with UNLV College of Business, and they helped us work through the statistics of this study. And we basically just sent out a mass pet survey to people that were willing to participate. And the results of that study came back with estimates of 150,000 to 160,000 pet desert tortoises in the greater Las Vegas area.
Wow.
We presume that is probably on the lower end of actual numbers.
Mm-hmm.
However, that is just our baseline study, and hopefully we'll be able to repeat that study to see if we are in fact increasing in pet population over the years, because oftentimes pet population trends follow suit with human population trends, and we know that Las Vegas has been growing exponentially over the years.
Sure. All right. Sarah, also, I wanted to know if you have a program for volunteers where they can sign up for any number of activities and programs or tasks at the Tortoise Group.
Yeah, so if anyone that wants to become a volunteer for Tortoise Group can go to our website, tortoisegroup.org, and then they will click on the Give button, and underneath that it says volunteer opportunities and get involved interest form and waiver. So they'll fill out that form, and that basically puts them right into our database so they can be contacted about events that cater to their interests the most. Because we have different tabling events. We have volunteers that assist with caring for our tortoises that are awaiting their forever homes and waiting to be adopted. And then we have those wild conservation projects for those people that really like to walk a couple miles a day or get out there and put in some manual labor.
That's a great idea for a little exercise. How nice. And you also have an events calendar on your website, upcoming events that would appeal to individuals in our community who have an interest in the desert tortoise.
Yes. So a lot of our general events do cater to people with tortoises throughout active tortoise season, which is usually spring through fall. We just held our last general meeting of the season at the end of September. So the next round of general meetings will pop up in spring when tortoises start to emerge as well. And then all of our general meetings are recorded. So if people weren't able to attend live meetings, then those are posted to our website under the archive page under our publication.
Fantastic. Sarah Mortimer, Executive Director for the Tortoise Group. Thank you so much for calling in this morning. It's always great to talk to you. You have a wonderful organization over there, a great website, a very informative website, a lot of education, and a lot of interesting facts and information about our desert tortoise. If you'd like to check it out again, that's tortoisegroup.org. Lots of cool stuff there. And again, Sarah, thank you so much for taking time out of your Sunday morning to chat with us.
Yes, I am more than happy to. I love talking tortoises, and I love being able to share information and spread awareness on Nevada's state reptile.